Irina Lagunina, Russian service. Madam Secretary, thank you for your kind words, but we are journalists. So two events coincided. The first meeting of Presidents Bush and Medvedev in Japan, where they discussed, among other things, the missile defense system in Europe, and you signing agreements with Czech Republic. How will it affect the ability of the U.S. and Russian leaders to resolve the most controversial issues for Russia, like missile defense itself and NATO enlargement? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Secretary Gates and I were twice in Moscow to discuss missile defense with the Russians, and we made the following argument, that the threats that we face are common threats. They are threats from Iranian missiles. They are threats from potentially North Korean missiles. The United States and Russia are not enemies any longer. And so this missile defense system is aimed at those threats, at the new threats of the 21st century, not at the Russian nuclear deterrent. I think we got the Russians' attention. I'm not quite sure that they are still sold on the concept, but I do believe that we've opened up a window for cooperation between Russia and the United States on missile defense. There is much that we can do together, and we're having discussions about that. I think they've come to understand. It hasn't been easy, given that it is the Czech Republic, given that it is Poland that we're talking about. They've come to understand, nonetheless, that this is not somehow aimed at them. We have said that there should be confidence-building measures so that Russia can know that these sites are not going to be aimed in any way at Russia. So I'm still hopeful that Russia accepting the need for missile defense, which I think it is beginning to see, will take a cooperative way of moving this forward. As to NATO enlargement, it is never going to be, I don't care who's president of Russia, it's never going to be an acceptable, quote-unquote, for a Russian leader to agree that NATO should enlarge. But, of course, it is a decision for the alliance, not for Russia. And what we've tried to convince Russia is that NATO is no threat to it, quite the opposite. NATO has been friendly to Russia. There's a NATO-Russia Council. And the extension of democracies on Russia's border should not be a threat to it. We have good discussions. Russia and the United States continue to cooperate across a wide range of issues. And so I really do believe that we can work our way through these thorny difficulties.
Madam Secretary, welcome to Prague, and it's a pleasure meeting you here. I'm the director of Azerbaijani service, and my question is, you know, you said liberty can never be crushed and freedom doesn't fail, and this is the messages our institution, our organization is sending to the region every day, because this organization is all about freedom and freedom of information. But what we see in the region, particularly in Azerbaijan, in Central Asia, in Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, in Armenia, that freedom is being crushed and it's failing. And in these countries, the autocrats or dictators, which possess a lot of oil and gas, they act with impunity in many ways. What is your message to those countries, and what is your answer to critics who say that because of the U.S. energy policy in the region, democracy is backsliding in this region? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the first thing would be a message to the leaders of those countries and then a message to the people of those countries. The message to the leaders of those countries is that they will never fully develop their potential if they will not allow their people the creativity and the innovation that comes from freedom. They simply won't. And so they may have shorter-term gains or even medium-term gains by their great oil wealth and their ability, therefore, to be somewhat resistant to outside pressure for change. But they will never be fully a part of the international community. They will never be fully a part of the modern world with systems that belong in the 18th century. And I think that has to be the message to those leaders. To the people, I would say that the United States has continued to fund and work with civil society to invite students to the United States, to try and bridge with people, and to help civil society be within itself a vehicle for pressure on the governments to start to loosen the reins. It won't come all at once. In some places, it may come quite slowly. But if you look at a place like Turkmenistan, there is a small opening. This is not Niyazov in power in Turkmenistan any longer. And so we will continue to press both from the bottom up and from the top down. And you never know when the breakthrough is going to come. And so these leaders need to be preparing for the day when people will succeed in getting their liberty. And what you can do is little by little encourage free press. What you do through Radio Free Europe is a part of that. I continue to say freedom will not fail. It takes a while sometimes, but it will not fail. One last question.
One last question. Alexander.
Belarus.
Thank you. Dr. Rice, I would like to ask a question on behalf of our listeners. We know that tonight our programming there will be people in prisons in Belarus who listen to our shortwave broadcasts. A year ago, you called Belarus the last dictatorship in Europe. On your watch, the U.S.-Belarusian relations are perhaps at a historic low. There are economic sanctions, visa ban, there is no ambassador. There are only 5 diplomats working in Minsk. The embassy was on the brink of closure, but still diplomatic ties have not been severed. What stopped it? And if so, does it mean there is hope for improving relations with official Minsk? And if so, how? Thank you.
Yes. Well, I'll be very clear. What stopped it was that I did not want to take down the American flag in Belarus. That's what stopped it. I think that the American flag continuing to fly in Minsk is an important signal that the United States is going to stand by those who are going to continue to struggle for freedom. I know that in a place like Belarus, it's difficult. I know that the Lukashenko regime is brutal. I know that it is sometimes efficient in its brutality toward its enemies and the opposition. It was embarrassed by the last election, because it was very interesting. Lukashenko didn't get 99% of the vote. And I think that those demonstrations need to continue to happen. And we're going to continue to work with the opposition through NGOs. I've met with those people myself. There are other countries that are doing great work. The Lithuanians, with whom I spoke just a few days ago, of course, have a university where Belarusians are increasingly going to school. The Poles are very active on, and the Czechs here in Prague, very active on Belarus's behalf. And so I think we can continue to bring pressure through the kinds of measures that you mentioned. And I think we can continue also to work with non-governmental organizations to try to help them be more organized and more effective in what they're doing. We need also the help of the European Union. We work very hard with them on issues concerning Belarus. But again, it sometimes takes time, and then sometimes it seems incredibly sudden, that all of a sudden something starts to shift and the sands underneath change. You know, I was the White House Soviet specialist at the end of the Cold War. I went to work for George H.W. Bush, the president's father, in February of 1989. And you could not have told me in February of 1989 that by February of 1991, there would be no Warsaw Pact. Soviet power would be effectively out of Eastern Europe. There would be a unified Germany. And that by February of 1992, there would be no Soviet Union. You could not have dreamed such. And so, as difficult as it is, I think what we need to do and what you do with your broadcasts every day is you keep alive that hope and that flame of freedom until the time comes that it can fully express itself. And what we know in human history is it does come to express itself. It isn't defeated. It does come into being, and you keep it alive each and every day in people who listen to you. And if any of us ever start to despair that somehow there is a system or there are leaders or rulers or dictators who are smart enough somehow, some way, to permanently and completely crush freedom, then those people who depend on that light and that sense that freedom continues to shine, we're going to abandon them. And so I try very hard when I speak to people who are still living in tyranny, not to say to them, expect a breakthrough tomorrow. That would be unfair. But to tell them that their hopes to be free are not misplaced. Because one never knows. And you continue to lay those seeds and you continue to lay that foundation so that when the time comes, there are people who are ready and able to take advantage of it. Thank you.